Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, as you know, in our day lives, but in our radio lives, we're here for you on any legal subject. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255 on any legal subjects, and we'll be glad to help you. We've been doing it for years. Doesn't matter. It can be landlord-tenant. It can be divorce, custody, wills. It can be estate questions. And if we don't have the expertise to help you, we will get you to the place that does have the expertise. And by the way, when we do, we don't get paid a fee for that. We just do it all for free, just so that we get you to the right place, the right people to talk to. Most of the time, we can handle your calls. Most of the time, we can help you solve your problems. 303-713-8255. We've handled calls dealing with survey disputes, boundary disputes, adverse possession, landlord-tenant from the landlord side, from the tenant side, divorce from both sides, and all kinds of questions in between. 303-713-8255. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show today at 10 o'clock every Saturday, 10 to 11 on KOA. It's the Champions of the People Injury Show. What does that mean? That means that we take an injury subject, a different one each week, and we dissect it down in detail to give you the information you need to educate you about these insurance companies that try to beat and defeat your insurance injury claim. Why do we do that? Don and Brad and I, years ago, people would come into their office. They really, really don't know what to do. They don't know what the rules are. You know, we're not, Brad and I aren't electrical engineers. We're not contractors. When we need that help, we get that help. So at Don and Brad and I, that you need information. So at Bell and Pollock, we educate and advocate for you, the injured victim. Our Champions of the People Injury Show is a detailed show. Today, we're talking about the subject of finding insurance, finding car insurance. That sounds pretty simple. Well, you need to listen to the show. I mean, if you're rear-ended, say it wasn't my fault, right? Wasn't my fault. Surely the at-fault party insurance company is going to pay me. Surely there's going to be a policy. So you won't believe the excuses we hear sometimes, that the driver that rear-ended our client was an excluded driver. They hadn't paid their premium and the policy lapsed. They signed certain waivers and they didn't have certain coverages. They weren't authorized to be in the car. They weren't a permissive driver. And on and on and on. So you need to find the insurance, and that's a complicated matter. Sometimes you have to look inside the households, to see if there's other cars, other family members, other blood relatives, where you can legitimately tie in and include other insurance policies that never were involved in the accident. So it's, you want to listen to our show. Okay, today last week we were talking about bicycle law in Colorado, and we're going to try to wrap up that subject this week. Just to remind you, last week we talked about the three-foot law. When you pass a bicyclist, you have to give them three feet from the outside perimeter of like your mirror to the bicyclist. So we've got just a reminder. And then now we want to talk about riding side by side, because people get very upset when bicycles are riding side by side. They don't think they ought to be able to. So, Brad, side by side riding is a big issue. What do we got there?
Well, it's basically permitted, and we'll just jump to the end and then talk about it a little bit. It's permitted as long as you're not impeding traffic. And what's impeding traffic, it becomes a big question. You've got to understand that, first of all, you've got to define what side-by-side is, because you may be, in essence, seeing two bicycle riders riding side-by-side in the down the road, where technically under law, they're considered to be only one bicycle rider in the lane, and the other one's outside the lane, so you only got one bicycle rider in the lane. But on the reverse side, if you have two bicycle riders riding side by side in the lane, then obviously there's not supposed to impede traffic unless they've got special markings on the sidewalk that gives them the right to be riding side by side in the lane. But you know, what they say is most police officers will look at it and say they will wait until there's about a five-car backup before they start considering them impeding traffic. Now, if you're car number one, two, three, or four, and the police officers wait until there's a five-car backup before you're impeding traffic.
You're not happy.
You're not happy, and you consider them to be impeding traffic. If you're car number one, you consider them to be impeding traffic. And you're saying, why don't these guys move over? I can't get by them. I can't do the three-foot law. I can't obey it by going around them. I've got cars coming at me in the other lane, so I can't get by them that way. Come on, guys, get into a single lane. And there has to be some discussion about it as far as, or some common sense being used as far as the bicycle riders and as far as the cars.
Bottom line, they're on side by side, and we've had questions to us before about, well, okay, great, Gary, great, Brad, side by side, but I, as a driver, come up and there's five bicyclists side by side, there's four bicyclists. The law says there can be two bicyclists side by side, not more. And then, as Brad said, if they're impeding traffic, which is, he just covered that, how do you determine if they're impeding traffic, then they have to ride single file. Join us live right now on KHOW is Aaron from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Aaron. What can we do for you?
Morning. I have a question. I got my neighbor involved, basically called my work and said that I was doing illegal activities off my, I live out east, so I have acreage where I can shoot guns and do different things.
Right.
And so I work for work for the government. So they called my employer, and I wonder if that falls into a harassment at all. Because my employer basically said, don't do anything on your own land that's going to bug your neighbor because they don't like you, or we're going to come back on you.
And what did you interpret them to mean they're going to come back on you, Aaron?
Well, basically they could say, well, if you keep escalating this, or if you keep doing stuff they don't like and they get the police involved, then they can start doing action against me at work.
Well, wait a minute. You have a neighbor who didn't like what you were doing on your property at your house. Yeah. First of all, did those activities extend beyond the borderline of your house? You know, you said you shoot guns and stuff. Obviously when you shoot guns, it gives off a noise and the neighbor may hear the noise. So maybe it might, in some form or another, intimidate or scare the neighbor that they're hearing gunshots on your land. But you said you live in a place where that kind of stuff is permitted?
Yes.
Okay.
And the sheriff's office has been called before, and they come over and we talk, and they say, yeah, you're perfectly legal. Have fun.
Okay. So the neighbor may have a problem of where they live, but it doesn't sound like they have the right to be controlling whether or not you can shoot your firearms. And then is that what they've been trying to to go to your work and complain about?
Yeah, they said, well, he was shooting off fireworks on the 4th of July, and he shoots his guns, and he's a menace to the neighborhood, and they said they speak for the whole neighborhood. And my employer came in and said, well, they speak for the whole neighborhood, and you're doing all this wrong and didn't do any. They completely followed in the, believed everything they said, had nothing, didn't care a word about what I said. So I'm wondering if that can fall into like the start of harassment, where if I can send them a letter and say, hey, knock us off. Or
well, Aaron, we got a break coming up. Can you just hang with us on the other side of the break, and we got to answer your question for you?
Hold for us, would you?
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere, Aaron. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the only show of its kind. Today, our Champions of the People Injury Show, 10 to 11 on KOA, every Saturday, a one-hour Champions of the People Injury Show. Today, we're talking about finding insurance. Sometimes we talk about concussions, truck accidents, neck injuries, back injuries, atlantoaxial injuries, injections, what it means to you. How do you beat the insurance company? Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. To the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. You know, we formed our law firm in 1984 with a vision, a mission of helping injured victims and their families. And we've done that for all those years, and we can help you. We have experience. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. They're free. We've written 6 books. One more is in the offing. We're working on it. We're about 80% done, but that means a lot in the book business. 80% is still a long ways to go. Right before the break, we were talking to Aaron in Colorado Springs. He lives out by Colorado Springs, but he has his own property. He likes to shoot guns. He shot off fireworks. He's got a neighbor that's harassing him, a neighbor that called his employer and, I guess, complained. And the employer, Aaron, what did the employer tell you again?
Well, they said at this point they can do nothing, but if it continues, they'll start disciplinary action against me.
What's confusing about this is I don't know why your employer is getting involved in what's going on with the neighbors, but, you know, on one side, you don't want to go after the employer. We can talk about whether the employer is a big company, whether it has a personnel manual, whether it can do anything about this, and whether it should even be taking these calls or hearing about it. The other side is you've got a neighbor that's trying to cause problems for you while you're exercising your legal rights and you're doing what you're legally entitled to do on your property. The neighbor's gone to the point of calling the police, and that hasn't worked, and is now trying to put pressure on you in a different way, and is putting your job in jeopardy. That I don't think the neighbor has a legal right to do this. Now, you know, we walk a fine line. If the neighbor's just calling up and saying, "Hey, I want you to know that this guy's shooting off fireworks on his property," or "I want you to know that he's shooting guns on his property," unless you're working for some company that has some kind of policy against that kind of stuff, against you shooting guns, your company shouldn't care. You're able to do it. You're acting within your legal rights, and I don't know why the company would be doing that unless they're saying, "Look, we just don't want to keep fielding this guy's calls," at which point I think it'd be appropriate to get or to consider a restraining order against your neighbor from calling your employment. I mean, you know, your neighbor's calling your employment, complaining about your lawful activities, but doing it in a way that's now causing your employment to say, "Look, we don't want to keep hassling with your neighbor, so you've got to do something."
Aaron, you mentioned the police earlier in the conversation. Did somebody call the police? This your neighbor, or what happened there?
Over the years, yeah, the police have been called, and they never tell you who called, but they just say, "Yeah, we had a complaint. The people are shooting over here." But they come over and say, "Yeah, you're doing it legally. You're doing it right. Have fun."
Okay, so you've never been cited or anything like that and you live in an area where you can do this, and you're not endangering anybody else shooting your guns. I mean, you're not a menace and all that kind of stuff.
So, all right,
you're engaged in lawful activity, period. You know, and the general rule in Colorado, you know, there's the Anti-Discrimination Act, but there's other laws. But the general rule is that your employer cannot terminate you for engaging in lawful activity off premises, you know, at your home premises during non-working hours. But, you know, working hours is different. And the subject of marijuana, which we're not talking about right now, is completely different. But you're engaged in a lawful activity.
Aaron, I think what has to happen here is and we'd be happy to do this for you for no charge, is that you need to have a letter sent to your neighbor telling your neighbor to cease and desist from further contacts to your employment and to other people, any other people with whom you have any kind of relationship where they're trying to cause problems or difficulties for you in your employment relationship. And tell them that if they don't, that you know they're causing you harm, and for them causing you harm, that you'll seek appropriate remedies, and those remedies can include getting a restraining order, or seeking an injunction, or holding them responsible for any kind of damages that you encounter as a result of loss of job or employment.
You know, many times an attorney demand letter ends it. Sometimes it doesn't. You got to go further. But have you tried that in the past with any attorney, anything like that?
No, this just happened recently. So,
well, would you like us to help you?
It'd be great if you would do that.
Let's do one for you. Let's take your name and number. Kevin will take your name and number. We'll have one of our attorneys in our office call you this week, get all the details, make sure we can send out a letter on your behalf, and try and stop the activity of the neighbor calling other people or calling your employment. Now, when I say this, I want you to understand, I also think you have a right to look at your employer and say, hey, employer, you ought to be just hanging up on, you ought to be just hanging up the phone on this person and not dealing with it. But you may be in some kind of sensitive employment where they want their employees not to have any kind of difficulties with their neighbors. So we can talk about your employment off the air when we get.
You know, let's use another example, Aaron. You got a great question. Suppose somebody called our law firm, right? Bell and Pollock, right? And said, hey, by the way, right. we live next door to employee X, Y, or Z. And this is just a made up example. It's not a real one. We live next door to your employee X, and they're gay, and we're complaining, and we think you should do something about it. Well, we would tell them that's a perfectly legal activity. That's somebody's lifestyle choice, and goodbye.
Well, I got news for you. If you were working for my office, Aaron, and somebody called me up and said you're shooting guns off and doing fireworks in your property, and I check with you and you say it's perfectly legal, and the next time the neighbor called, I'd be saying, look, it's legal. They're entitled to do it. You, neighbor, are obviously living in a neighborhood where you do not like the activities that are permitted. The neighbor should consider selling their property and moving into some place where those activities right. aren't permitted. And you're fine. So if you were working for me, it'd be resolved pretty fast as far as just telling the neighbor they can't do that. They shouldn't be calling me.
So, Aaron, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information. We'll contact you, and we'll be glad to help you. All right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. Sir. We appreciate it. So the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, you can call us right here, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255, even though we're injury attorneys, we'll handle your call and address your subjects, just like we're going to do right now with David about a landlord-tenant matter. Good morning, David.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you very much.
Sure, what can we do for you?
So we have a very unreasonable landlord we've been trying to deal with, and want to start off with, when we originally moved into the place, we moved in February of last year, and the place was
trashed.
It was very trashed, very unmaintained. He advertised for AC, AC never worked. There's a unit there, but it never worked. We've had nothing but problems with him, and I decided myself that we're gonna, we did some work to the outside, you know, just to make it look good for us. And long, you know, like a patio, and we did, you know, just stuff like that. And long story, to make a long story short, we, a year and a half later, we decided to, we got a good deal on a house we were able to purchase. And we told the landlord we were going to have to break our lease. Well, we had a 2-year lease. So we're breaking it 6 months early. He originally told us, you know, no problem. Like, you know, he's going to get it listed on Craigslist or Zillow and all that. Mm-hmm. And now he sent me an email that was so so bad of things that he feels like I should fix, like the irrigation. I'm like, I didn't realize I was even responsible for irrigation. I don't have anything to do with it, sprinklers. Like, we put some above ground edging in, and he wants me to replace that too. And I'm like, and that's just above ground. It's just something we did for our own, for our own stuff. And my issue is, we believe that he is not trying to get the place rented. We looked on Zillow, and he has 40 people contacting him, but only one application. And from the email that he sent me, it sounds like he's not even going to try to get a new tenant. He's going to hold us to our lease till February and make us pay until sit on the property and make us pay until February, and we've already moved out.
So you got a lease. It's a signed lease by everybody. It's in writing. And the lease, by its terms, on its face, ends next February, what, basically? End of February, 1st of February?
End of February.
End of February. You've already moved out. Sure. And I mean, so are you saying that he didn't have the place in a habitable condition? Or are you saying that he, you know, misrepresented on the advertising?
That's one of them. He definitely misrepresented it.
And
second thing is, halfway through the lease, the stove broke. I called him on the stove, and I asked him to replace the stove, and he said, I'm going to get you one off of Craigslist, but I'm the one who needs to go pick it up. And it's just one of many things that I've had to deal with. So we bought our own stove, and I replaced my own stove. And then I decided to take the stove with me when I left, because I paid $900 for it. And I didn't have to, but I left him another one that I got off Craigslist, and he actually complained about it, even though I didn't need to leave him with any stove. He didn't leave me with the stove.
All right, David, have you already moved out?
Yeah, he's moved out.
Okay.
David, we got a break coming up. Can you hang with us over the break? And we're going to answer your questions. But bottom line is, before we go to break, you've got a whole list of items that were wrong with the property, and then you had to move out, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, so you hang with us, okay? Don't go anywhere, all right?
You bet, no problem.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We call it an information-loaded website because it is. Right on the homepage, there's a button you can hit and listen to our show and what you need to know before you talk to the insurance adjuster for the very first phone call. That's not only important, it's critical. But if you don't have time to listen to the show, then you can hit the other button and get our quick printable checklist on what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. That day at school. Good morning. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Grab your legal coffee and your legal bagel. We're going to talk to Eric at Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
We got one more week of the specials that we talked about last week. Now we'll start with that breakfast special. That is that buttermilk pancake loaded with fudge brownie chunks and served with a side of Nutella on the side. Super sweet for your tooth right there. That will be the breakfast special for the rest of the week. And then that lunch special, is that burger special that I talked about last week. That's the three meat patty. It's got the Angus beef, 6 ounce Angus beef patty. It's got the kebab sausage, which is veal and beef combined together. We're going to load coleslaw on top of that. We're going to serve that on a ciabatta bun and with white truffle fries. So that's really, really good. It's really, really big. But it's really, really good. That will be the lunch special for the rest of the week, guys. And don't forget, every week, Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m., we do that early bird special that I always talk about. That's two eggs, hash browns, your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage with that. Toast tortilla or pancakes on the side comes with that price, and those buttermilk pancakes are always the popular one. But any of those work. So come on down and check out all those things, plus all the other scratch-made products that we have on the menu. There's tons to choose from. Flat screens are on, and right now the patio looks great. I know the afternoon calls for a little bit of showers, but we're open till 2, so you should be able to squeak in and come on down, bring your dog, sit on the patio, have a great breakfast, have some mimosas, whatever you like. Come on down and check us out, guys.
You're going to have football games on then, right?
We got flat screens on, and they are ready to go. We've already got some people in here checking out the highlights and some of the preseason action, so absolutely everything's ready to rock and roll down here at Caitlin's.
I'll tell you something, Eric. I've tried your pancake mix. I think it's the best I've ever eaten in my life. It's homemade, right?
It's absolutely homemade. And like I said, it is buttermilk pancakes. It's a super old recipe. Real simple. We just keep it simple and basic here, but it's consistent. That's what people like, and the price is right. Absolutely. Those are beautiful.
Go ahead.
You can get them with cheesecakes. You can get them with blueberries, strawberries, bananas. We do a banana Foster's pancake. So you can't just get straight pancakes if you want, but we've got tons of other options and tons of other things to load inside there as well.
One more question. What are white truffle fries?
White truffle fries
That's what you just said a minute ago.
That's what it is. So what we do is we take an Idaho potato, we thin shoestring slice it, we fry it up to a golden brown, and then we mix it with fresh Parmesan and an olive oil that's infused with white truffle mixture in there. So it's not overpowering, but it's really, really eccentric. It's really, really good, and it just kicks off that sausage and that veal burger patty, and it just complements really, really well.
That sounds so good, I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
All right, Eric, here's what's happening. I'm going to get some white truffle fries, and I'm going to try your chocolate chip or whatever you got, pancake.
Chocolate brownie chunk.
But if that screws up your pancake mix, I'm going to be upset because I like your pancakes. So I'll make sure I let you know.
Where are you located?
Guys, that's going to be 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the newly renovated and beautiful Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, come on, check us out. You will love it, every by the way.
All right, Eric, thanks.
Sounds good, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We take your calls right here, 303-713-8255, 713-8255, on any subject. Right before the break, we were talking to David from Denver. He has what he calls an unreasonable landlord. David, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's many, Brad and I were discussing your situation during the break. There are many, 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 many issues involved here. I mean, there's the implied warranty of habitability in Colorado, whether it was habitable, whether the landlord received notice of defective or items that need to be repaired, whether the landlord did it. And did the landlord ever give you a notice of accounting for your security deposit?
I don't think he did. No.
Okay, one more thing. You say the landlord you checked on, I think Zillow is what you said, but anyway, they've had a lot of inquiries, but only one application. Look, assuming for a second, I'm not saying you did, but assuming you breached the lease, assuming you left too early and you owe the rest of it, the landlord's under a duty to reasonably mitigate his or her damages, which means they got to move to re-rent the property. They can't just let it sit there and do nothing or do something unreasonable like not even having any renters.
What he did. And as a matter of fact, the day we were still moving out a week ago, and he had texted me and asked me if a possible person can come over and take a look at the property, you know, for rent.
Right.
And a very nice couple came over from around the corner where there's an apartment, and they were interested in moving in like the very next day, you know. And I called my landlord about it. Apparently he put in an application. I had called my landlord and I put him on speakerphone. I told him, hey, we're willing to transfer our deposit to the new person.
Wow.
We are willing to, I will do whatever it takes to get, you know, I'm doing all the touch-ups in the house. I'm cleaning it. I'm making sure, her and I are making sure everything's good to go. I mean, we put in. And then he turns around a few days later and tells me that he's not going to be it's not looking good for this guy. And I'm not trying to accuse of anything, but I think he might be a little prejudiced, but that's just opinion of mine.
How long ago did you surrender? The reason I'm confused is you talk about different things you're doing to the property, you've done to the property. Have you specifically surrendered possession of the property to the landlord?
No.
We still have the keys.
Okay.
Yeah, we still have the keys.
So you know, I think we got to be careful because, you know, there is a statute on this, and the statute talks about, as far as what's supposed to happen to your security deposit, is 3812.102. It says when you've surrendered possession or when the landlord has taken possession. And it doesn't sound like you've surrendered, and it sounds like you still have possession of the property. The requirement kicks in for the landlord to mitigate damages and try and get this property released, maybe earlier than that, but the landlord may not be able to enter into a lease unless you surrendered possession, and they've got to know when you're officially going to do that. This one's pretty complicated. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, I spent just last month a day in trial, and I've got another day coming up this coming month over a question and issues concerning what happened with security deposits and whether the landlord or whether there was surrender of possession of property. So I think this has got a little bit more complication to it than what we can probably handle over the phone.
But David, would you like us to help you?
Yeah, I would love you to help me.
Okay,
let's
get your name and number on and be able to talk to you, because there's a lot of questions when you get into leasing property. You've got landlords, you've got some good ones, some bad ones. You've got landlords that have a duty to mitigate damages, so they need to lease that property and get it leased to decent people and take decent actions to try and relet the property. You're supposed to be surrendering it in good condition. And it sounds like there's a lot of stuff that was going on over the last year and a half.
So, David, I'm going to put you on hold, but we're going to need to get a copy of your lease, and we're going to need to talk to you and see, delve into the facts a little bit more, right? We'll be glad to see if we can help you and get you where you need to go, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, so you're welcome. So give Kevin your information, and we'll see if we can help you, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Right now we're talking live with Bill from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What can we do for you?
Yeah, so my in-laws are looking to do a 1031 exchange out of a small office building with the ultimate goal of my wife ending up with that property. What do you guys recommend is the best way to structure that to not trigger undue tax burden, and then to ultimately, you know, have my wife end up with this property legally and, you know, without huge probate concerns and all of that? What do you guys recommend?
Okay, some facts first. Who owns the property right now?
Her parents.
Her parents. Okay, and then they want to exchange. Who wants to exchange what for what?
They want to get out of an office building. They're older, retiring, and
right.
Just kind of winding down. They don't want the responsibility of dealing with a big office and whatnot, and looking just to transfer into possibly even just a residential unit that would be either a rental or something along those lines for the long term.
Right.
And they basically just don't want to deal with it any further. You know, they're in their 80s and just kind of unwinding, so to speak.
Okay, but to have a 1031 exchange, you got to have a target property. Identified, and you got to have the property that you're going to exchange. So, what are you going to exchange? What's it going to be exchanged here? What piece of property for what piece of property?
A small office building for probably a small, maybe just a rental house or something along those lines.
Okay, we got a break coming up. Can you hang with us, and we'll get to your question.
So what's the best way to structure that?
Well, we're gonna have to catch you on the other side of the break. Can you hang with us, Bill? All right, I'll put you on hold. Thank you for the call. Don't forget about the show that follows our show, which would be a perfect show to answer this question on the 1031 exchange. It's Barry and Larry on the Consumer Real Estate Show. They know all the things about real estate. I bet they could give their insight on this 1031 exchange question. They're very competent. They do boot camps. And if you want to know when the best time to sell is, they're the people to contact. When best time to buy is. What about rates? What about where the market's going? That's the Consumer Real Estate Show. That's the show that follows our show. Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show today at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11 on KOA every Saturday, 10 to 11. It's an injury show. We dissect the injury subjects in detail. We've covered everything from neck injuries and neck damages to low back to lumbar surgeries, injections, transforaminal epidural steroid injections, rhizotomy treatments. What do they mean? How do you present your claim? What does an injury mean? How do you do the shoulder? How do you present this claim? How do you maximize your damages? How do you find insurance? And that's the subject we're talking about today. So you can listen to the Champions of the People's Injury Show every Saturday at 10 o'clock. Right before the break, we were talking to Bill from Colorado Springs on a 1031 exchange question. Bill, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, so I understand your question is you've got a small you got a small property, commercial property, and the question is, can you switch it or exchange it for a residential property for these people, correct?
That's it. And then also, is my wife able to take title with them, or does that trigger other tax consequences? We're just trying to figure the easiest way to ultimately transfer the property. And I didn't know if there's any tricks to that. I know there's a lot of tax consequences surrounding the 1031 exchange if that's done improperly.
Right.
There sure are. And you know, there's a lot of questions we've got with respect to yours. It's going to take a lot of work.
So, I mean, the general answer is you can't – general answer. I mean, and this is a very detailed area of the law. The general answer is you can't go from a commercial piece of property down to a residential. They have to be, you know, like-kind properties. They have to be in exchange properties and that sort of thing. and they had to be in – you can have a residential unit if you're using it for, like, for rental, because that's an investment-type property. There are provisions, however, that allow you to deal with your residents. So I think we're going to have to get you to some specific expert, Bill, and I know some good ones to refer you to.
And Bill, I'm going to tell you, we have a lawyer by the name of Steve, who I don't have any more information right now, who is also on another line. He's a lawyer for the 1031 exchange and can answer the question, is what we've got saying he came up.
And that, this is definitely kind of down in the weeds specific. So
Well, that's okay. So tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, Bill. You give your name and information to Kevin. We're going to try to help you and get you to the right people. But keep listening, because we're going to pick up Steve on the next line. And he said he's an attorney that does specialize in 1031, so you can be listening to his advice as well, okay?
Okay, thanks for your time.
Sure. So I'm going to put you on hold, give Kevin your information, and we appreciate your call.
Yep, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Right now, we are going to go to Steve from Denver. Steve, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you say you're a lawyer and you know about the 1031 exchanges, sir?
Been doing it for 25 years.
I think you got it down by now, so we're gonna switch it over to you. And what do you think, sir?
Well, he could, or his parents could, trade from the investment property to the investment property, office to residence, as long as they're both held for investment. Now, as far as the other question of turning it over to their daughter, they could complete the exchange and then gift the property to their daughter if they chose to do that, or they could rent the property to their daughter as long as it was for fair market value, so it was truly held for investment. They could rent the new property to their daughter as her residence as long as it's for fair market value of rent. And then ultimately they could either gift that property to her in the future if they don't need the income, or they could she could receive it by inheritance, which would be the best tax situation. I think that covers the ground.
And then that's really brilliant. Thanks, Steve. And do you work as a qualified intermediary to hold money, or do you get with somebody
Correct.
Else? You can
I.
Do. And can you can you handle this whole transaction, Steve?
I can if they want me to. I do a lot of these. My company is 1031x.com. That's the easiest way to find me.
Okay.
Well, we're going to make it easier for our client. I mean, our caller. I'm gonna put you on hold. Get your information, and we're going to hook you guys up if we have your permission to do that.
I love that. Of course.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much for calling us. We appreciate it. This is exactly what we need when we're in areas that are a little foggy for us. We need experts to give us a call. We appreciate it.
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you on hold, give that information. I'm going to hook you up with these people, and hopefully everybody sails away happy. All right?
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you for the call.
Take care, Steve.
Appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to get that 1031 exchange question answered. I think we mostly got it right, but Steve had some brilliant advice there. It has to be like-kind property investments, but he had some great advice on how to get the daughter involved in the situation. So, wow, we really appreciate that call. Right now we're going to talk to Paul from Denver. Good morning, Paul. What can we do for you?
Good morning. Well, some years ago, as you probably recall, Anthem had a breach in of their database, and a lot of IDs were impacted. And due to that, my family put security credit report freezes on all credit agencies, all the three credit agencies for us, including for our son, who at the time was, I think, 14. That being said, we wanted to get an annual credit report for him from all three agencies, the free annual credit report, this year. He's 16, and he has his own credit. He's got his own credit card. He's got excellent credit. And we wanted to get the report. So we did that. I think I did it through a phone calls through annual credit report, free annual credit report, the government one.
Right.
And we got the return documentation, and they refused to give it to us because they said it was suppressed because he was a minor. And I said, they said they're willing to do it if we send them all this documentation, including his name, social security number, address, you know, all the things, all the real high security things relating to him through the mail. And I said, I'm not doing that. That's an incredible risk. You know, I can give it to you over the phone. I can give you, you know, even online, whatever, but not through the mail. That's not happening. And they said, that's our policy. I said, that might be your policy, but it's against the Fair Credit Reporting Act. You have to, there's no distinction between a minor asking for the free credit report and an adult asking for it. It's supposed to be given. And they agreed that he is, that the free credit report has to be able to come to us. That's not an issue. They're trying to make a distinction because it's a minor. So I contacted the FTC. They agree with me. What I'm trying to figure out is when I make my complaint to the Federal Consumer Protection, Financial Protection Bureau, which is where it goes, what clauses in the Fair Credit Reporting Act do I quote?
Paul, we got our show's about to end. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to have to call you, but you got a fascinating issue.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry we're out of time. So give Kevin your information, would you please?
And we will call you with those sources, okay?
Thank you very much for the call.
We'll make sure you...
Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, Bell and Pollack, our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. It's there for you. All of our books are there. It's championsofthepeople.com because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.